ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो सेकंड चैप्टर 9 स्टेक्स नंबर 24।
ऑल बाय द सेम एनर्जी देयरफॉर द पोटेंशियल पावर इज पेनेंस ओनली But an extra rung tapaha, my power, Lord Vishnu says, comes from, or is represented, or is attained by severe penance. So it may appear from this verse that the Lord has to perform penances. He gets power to create, maintain, and destroy from doing penances. But that version cannot be accepted because the Shastra already says that Natasya Karyam Karananja Vidyate Natachamas Chavyatikascha Drishyate Parasi Shartya Vividhaiva Shuyate Swabhavaki Jnana Balakriya Cha. The Shruti says that he has nothing to do. He's not obliged to anyone. There's nothing for him to do, and he does nothing in the sense that an ordinary materialistic person does. The Supreme Absolute Truth has many different potencies. Potencies of knowledge, potencies of activity, potencies of strength. But they all act automatically without his having to even take difficulty to oversee them. So here we can understand, these are the activities of the Lord, how he interacts with this material world. There are three activities, or three phases. Srishti, Stiti, Pralaya, which go under different names. Here, Srijami, I create. Grasami, literally means I swallow, or I devour. That means the destruction. And then Bibharmi, I maintain. So these are the interactions of the Lord with the material world. Now here the Lord is speaking to Lord Brahma, through whose agency the Lord creates the material world. And there are many demigods also through whom Lord Vishnu oversees the function of maintaining the material world. And Lord Shiva is the agent of the Lord through which this material world is destroyed. So the position or the power to do this, to act within the material world, that power, whatever power there is achieved from Lord Vishnu, but that power is achieved through tapasya. Now, even in this material world, it's said that people understand the value of working, because you don't get something for nothing. That's the law of this material world. Of course, it may be by chance. That's the principle behind gambling. People want to get rich quick without any work, just by luck. But that, of course, that means that there must be some karma, or someone is very poor, and then he gets a telegram, your rich, unknown auntie just died and left you $50 billion. So that may be, that apparently by chance, one simply becomes rich. But the general rule that's stated in Shastra is also that Nahi suptasya singhasya pravishante mukhe mrigam. That even the lion is the very powerful king of the forest, but not simply that he's sleeping and all the animals will say, my dear king, I would like to be blessed by being eaten by you. He has to get up and chase them. So sometimes we see that it's stated in Shastra that everything is going on simply by the direction of the Supreme. Prakriti kriyamana ni gunai karma ni sarvashaha hankara vimurhatma kartaha miti manyate. Everything is going on, this is Krishna says in Gita, everything is going on by the laws of nature. And one who thinks that I'm the doer, he's a big fool. But on the other hand, it said, nahi suptasya singhasya pravishanti mukhe mrigam. And then there is the In the five factors of action in Sankhya philosophy, where karta, the doer, is one of them. So in this material world, everyone is the doer to some extent. But in Gita, Krishna says, karta hamiti manyate vimurha. Who thinks I am the doer, he's a great fool. So what's going on here? Well, there are two considerations. Bhishma Dev states that whatever comes to pass, that is 50% due to previous karmic reactions, and 50% is the endeavor. And of course, that half and half means it may be different in different circumstances. Some fate may be unavoidable. Generally, fate is unavoidable. But what you do with it, that you have to consider how to act. Otherwise, what is the meaning of fate? You only got the fate because you acted in a certain way, by making a choice. Therefore, you get good karma or bad karma. There would be no meaning, otherwise we'd just be like zombies. So, if there was no personal choice. Of course, one's personal choice is also influenced by his previous activities and background. That's why a person who is very strongly influenced by the mode of ignorance, he tends to act in such a way. Person strongly influenced by the mode of goodness, he acts differently to a person in the mode of ignorance. In the mode of passion, it's also distinct, quite distinct from the mode of ignorance and the mode of goodness. But again, all these modes mix. So there is influence of previous activities, but there's also individual choice. Now here the Lord is saying how to get certain power and position, or how. That is by tapasya. The power by which one can assist the Lord in his activities of creation, maintenance and destruction. The demigods, they get their position by tapasya. Generally we see that if any rishi is performing austerities, then the demigods, they try to break that. Indra may send some dancing girl to break that. Because Indra gets that position of Swargalokam, what is that? That in Swargalokam Vishal, that Vishal Bhog, the tremendous material enjoyment, as we can't imagine on this planet. People think they're enjoying. They can't imagine. The standard of enjoyment is nothing compared to that of the heavenly planets. So that position is attained by tapasya, by strongly performing penances. So Indra tries to break that. Of course, when he tried to break the penance of Nara Narayan Rishi, Manmatha, Kamadev, his another name is Manmatha, was sent by Indra. Kandarpa, so many names. Manmatha means someone who churns your brain, churns your intelligence. Disturbs the mind. That is the position of Manmatha, by shooting his flower arrows, lusty desires. But Krishna's name is Manmatha Manmatha. He churns the brain of Manmatha. He's more powerful than him. So when he went to try to break the austerities of Nara Narayan Rishi by sending the flower, arrows, and dancing girls. So Narayan Rishi was watching and said, yeah, very nice dancing girls. Here, you want some more? I'll create some more. So out of his own potency, he created a group of beautiful girls, more beautiful than Manmatha had imagined could exist even. He said, you like them? You take one. Which one do you want? You choose. You take back to the heavenly planets. Who is that? Urvashi. So, Narayan Rishi, he comes to this world to show the path of penance, which is so important for all human beings. But he himself he's not interested in any material position. Even the demigods, they're interested in that. They're pious, they're devotees, but they're interested in, I'll do some penance, I'll get some position of enjoyment or control. But those who are pure devotees, they perform austerities only for the sake of pleasing Krishna. Tapo Devyam. Divine austerities that are meant for the ultimate purification of being free from all material desires. So Prabhupada describes here, just by the way, you were saying about description of Golok Vrindavan, here the page turned over, the In Padma Purana also described Kaloka Vrindavan, said in the top part that describes the yoga peat. So this tapasya, that divine austerity should be performed, as Prabhupada writes here. In executing penance, one must be determined to return home, back to Godhead. That should be the real purpose of austerity. Either the materialistic people, they may be devotees or non-devotees. Sakama bhakta, they may have a desire to enjoy this material world. So they may perform austerity to serve the Lord, but within a capacity within this material world. Whereas Hiranyakashipu didn't want to serve the Lord at all, so his position is quite different. The position of demigods, that is glorious, because they are serving the Lord. Yang Brahma Varanendra Rudra Maruta Stundanti Divyai Stavai. All the demigods are praising the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But on the other hand, from the position of a pure devotee, what is that? That Prabodhananda Saraswati says, Kaivalyam Narakayate Tridashapur Akasha Pushpa. The whole world, which is simply miserable, becomes full of happiness. And vidhi mahendra dishchakitayate. From the point of view of someone who's got even the slight glance of mercy from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then even the position of Indra and Brahma seems no more important than that of a worm. Why do you want to be Indra or Brahma if you can get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Prabodhananda Saraswati is saying? What's the value? Such a great position. What? Just like in Gita, that's also said. What is the position of a brashta yogi? One who falls from the path of yoga, who is not successful in this life. So, what is it? He gets the chance. Prapya pranya kritang lava lokam. He gets the chance to go to the heavenly planets. Oh. Is that a devotee is thinking, is that a benediction? You have to go to the heavenly planets and waste your time dancing with the apsaras and fighting with the asuras and going to parties with somaras. What a waste of time. What a useless thing. Is that a benediction? Of course, there's also praising the Supreme Lord, but it's more or less just mixing up with a bunch of materialistic people. I don't want to go to the heavenly planets, as a devotee thinks. I want to go to Krishna. So that we don't. Krishna is saying, you can go to the heavenly planets, then again you can come and do devotional service. But a devotee is thinking, why should I do that? Better go back home, back to Godhead. Better do whatever is necessary. There may be some tribulation and some difficulty. Definitely there will be. If we want to go back home, back to Godhead, of course Prabhupada always used to say, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. If you follow these rules and regulations, chant 16 rounds, follow the rules and regulations, you can go back to Godhead in this life. But it won't be without tests. Tests will be there. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that Krishna tests his devotees in the fire of ordeal. It means you have to go through fire. Fire or water. Tejo varin radamyata. Fire, water, earth. You may have to go through so many different tests before we can achieve position of going back to home, back to Godhead. There may be many, many difficulties that we have to go through. But that is purifying. That will clear out all the trash in the heart, as Prabhupada uses that phrase in connection with Arjuna. And all the trash in his consciousness was cleared out. So there are so many bad things within the heart. Therefore, devotees, they're enjoined to undertake some difficulty in the service of Krishna. And if we actually want to serve Krishna, then difficulty will come. Especially in the preaching mission, there may be so many difficulties. If we're really going to push against Maya, then we have to take so many difficulties. As Prabhupada writes here, that an easygoing life and attainment of perfection and transcendental realization cannot go together. If we think I will live very easily and nicely and everything will be just very nice, We see that there are many devotees, especially in the Dalap Sampradaya. They have this idea. You live very comfortably and nicely, plenty of money, and you worship Lala, and like this. You should have all silver paraphernalia for worshipping the Lord. And you live very comfortably and very nicely, and worship Krishna. So, alright, that's alright. That's 100,000 million times better than not worshipping Krishna. But, to attain Krishna, kashtana karle ki. Kashtana karle ki. Keshto milibena. If we don't take some difficulty, then we won't get Krishna. There has to be some difficulty. Here that question came. Who's asking that? Narayan. He's always asking so many philosophical questions. That why the Lord puts his devotees into so many difficulties. Here Prabhupada is giving the answer. The Lord is more clever than any living entity, therefore he wants to see how painstaking the devotee is in devotional service. He wants to see. If Bali Maharaj had not been tested by Vamandev, then how would you know? How would you know how he's such a great devotee? And how would he show his great devotion to the whole world for all the future generations to see? The Lord put him into great difficulty, humiliation. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells that to Arjuna, that for one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. For a Kshatriya, he would rather die than be dishonored. And rather than leaving the battlefield, running away, he'll die on the battlefield, he'll go forward. Even into an impossible situation, he'll go forward and fight, knowing that there's no way I'm going to come out of this alive. I'm outnumbered, there's no chance. But still he'll go forward and die, rather than come back. There are so many stories in Rajasthan, where the Rajput comes back from the battle, and the queen, outside, you've seen in Rajasthan, there are so many big forts, you can't come inside, so he's coming back and said, "Did you win the battle?" "No, we had to run away." "Who are you?" "I'm your husband." "No, you're not. My husband wouldn't do like that. You must be an imposter. You must be one of the Muslims you are fighting with. They lost. Because my husband would die, and he would not lose. Either he'll die or he'll win. That's all." So he had to go back. And then he had to go back and fight and lose. And meanwhile, the queens are all making the fire. So they all jump in the fire. Put their hand. Have you seen on the forts? You understand all these marks of the hand. They put their hand on the fort just to show. And then they'll jump in the fire. It's their honor. So Bali Maharaj, he was a Kshatriya. He was dishonored by Vamandev, tied up, called a liar. That you told me you would give me 3 steps of land, but you don't even have 3 steps to give. You think you're such a big king. You're in possession of the whole universe. And you told me you'd give me 3 steps of land, and you're telling me I should take more. But you can't even give me 3. You're telling me I should take more, but you can't even give me 3 steps of land because I covered everything in 2 steps. So tie him up. He's a cheater. Actually, Bali Maharaj, he wasn't the cheater. Vamandev was the cheater. He came to cheat Bali Maharaj. But he's saying, "You, Bali, you're the cheater. You offered me 3 steps of land and you can't even give it. What kind of a king are you? You're performing yajnas as if you're a big Maharaj, Adiraj. You can't even give it simple. You see, I'm just a little dwarf boy. You can't even give 3 steps of land. What a useless fellow." So tied him up, took away his kingdom, threw him out of the heavenly planets, completely humiliated. But Bali Maharaj, thinking he was completely in this mood, Ashlishyava Padaratam Pinashtuma, Pinashtu, I mean just like Pishtu, just like crush him. If you crush me, so embrace me or crush me, still I'm your servant. Yata tata bhavilatatu mangato. That Pranamas is to say, Radharani is making this prayer. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radharani. That even if you crush me or embrace me, whatever, you're a lampat. Lampat also means cheater, means vyabhichari, debauchee. Debauch, I think the word is in English. Prabhupada used to just say debauchee. But still, you are my Lord, in whatever condition. So Bali Maharaj also, even though cheated, humiliated, everything, he still thought, Krishna is my Lord, whatever. So you have to undergo many difficulties. And the result that Krishna personally came to serve him and be his doorkeeper. He made his position more honorable. And he's living in, that's stated in the Bhagavatam, he's living in the Sutala planet. Vigata sadvas, without, his fear is gone. That means he must have had some fear from Vamanday, what he's doing to me. What's he going to do next? He took everything away, he tied me up, threw me down into the lower planets. What's going on? It wasn't that he was just completely, naturally though, it wasn't that he was completely just totally detached and okay. Naturally there was some feeling because he was a family man and he was the king and he had so many people depending on him. So he was feeling some fear. Just like Prabhupada described about Arjuna, when someone challenged Prabhupada, that how is it that Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna and told him that you should be detached, that anasakta abhishvanga putragdara grihadishu, that Krishna speaks in Gita, one of the symptoms of knowledge is that one is detached from home, wife, family, sons, and all these other things. So Krishna spoke all these things to Bhagavad Gita. Yet, when Arjuna's son Abhimanyu was killed, he was very upset, lamenting. So someone challenged him, how is it? You're saying it would seem ridiculous. He used this term, ridiculous. Prabhupada didn't like that very much. Why are you speaking like that about Arjuna, great devotee? Prabhupada said that it was natural that he had some feelings. Everyone has feelings. It's not this impersonal idea, impersonalistic idea that when you become self-realized, you have no feelings. You just become completely detached. Detached, yes, in the sense that he's not acting only for the... Prabhupada explained, he's not acting only for the sense of... only. He's not attached in the sense that he's Jivaya Swarup Hoy, wife Nitya Das, or family Nitya Das. He hasn't sold himself, heart and soul, for his family. If a devotee is a grihastha, he also has some feelings for his family members, but the point is that Prabhupada said that he went on with his service to Krishna. Even though the feelings were there, he didn't stop his service to Krishna. He went on performing his duty. So in the same way, Bali Maharaj, he may have, undoubtedly, that's Vigata Sadvas, his fear is gone away. So he was feeling some fear for Bali Maharaj was treating him in this way. What's going to happen next? I had this responsible position of maintaining all the demons and my family and everything, and now what's going on? What's going to happen next? He didn't know. But then the Lord reassured him, now, all right, I was testing you. You passed the test. So now I'm going to be your doorkeeper and be with you. So no fear. No fear even from big demons. Ravana came. He was going around the universe showing off his strength, challenging so many people, even challenged Lord Shiva. But when he came to Bali Maharaj in Sutala, then Vamandev, the dwarf is there as the doorkeeper. He has big Ravana with his 10 heads and all his power attained from tapasya. So he thought he'd just march in, never mind the doorkeeper. It was Ravana. Usually you see someone who's puffed up by strength. They don't care for anyone's. What do they care? A doorkeeper, what is it, a joke? Have you seen these dwarves? Have you seen these little dwarves? They go around, sometimes they sing songs and they make some money like that. So imagine if they had someone as the doorkeeper and some big strong guy comes, and what is the dwarf going to do? Is it a joke or what? Having a dwarf as a doorkeeper. What's he going to do? So Ravana goes marching in, but all of a sudden he feels there's some big pain in his backside and he's hurtling through space. What happened? Vamandev kicked him. Kicked him out. He didn't even let him go anywhere near Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj is Vigata Sadhavas, without any more fear, the word perturbation means without any more, the mind is, his mind must have been reeling, what's going on? Here I am performing my sacrifice and everything's okay, I'm in control of the whole universe. And one thing after another, all of it, he loses his position, he loses his respect of everybody, he's thrown out, he has nothing. So his mind was reeling, but now he's completely assured. Now, Vamandeva is protecting that. Yamuna Acharya has given a very nice prayer. Prashanta Nishesha Manohara Tantaram. How does that verse begin? Does anyone know? I remember the second line. I remember the first line. How does that begin? Prashanta Nishesha Manohara Tantaram. Kadamai Kandika Nittikin Kadam. Prahashi Yashami Sa. Prahashi Yashami Sanata Jivitam. Kadamai Kandika Nittikin. No, that's not the first line. It's the third one. But, anyway, I can't remember the first line. The purport is that when will I feel fully satisfied to have you as my master? That by serving you, the mind becomes very peaceful and all material desires go away. So when will I be fully satisfied by serving you? Sanata Jivitam, Prabhupada explained, just like Sanata means with a master, and the other word is Anata, means without a master, means the word, it means often. In modern Indian languages, means often. They say anath ashram, means often. So as the Prabhupada gave the example, just like a street dog, he has no master. So everyone's just throwing stones at him. He comes sniffing to try and get some food, and someone beats him with a stick. Rah, get out of here. Whereas a dog with a master, he feels, yes, very nice. I have my master, so he's fully confident. He can bark at anybody, because he knows my master is there, he'll look after me. He's very confident, whereas the street dog is very shy and always full of fear. Who's going to throw stones at me next? But the dog with a master, yes, I'm protected. No one will dare to throw stones at me. Rather, I will bark at them and they will run away. So like that, a devotee is reassured that my master, he is protecting me. But to come to that position of being fully confident of Krishna's protection, rakshishyatiti vishvaso, full confidence of Krishna's protection, one has to go through the test of Krishna. Krishna will take. Krishna is not going to fully protect if we're going to be all nonsense. We have to become worthy of Krishna's protection. So Krishna will put us through so many difficulties, so that we will know that I have no other shelter but Krishna. So many difficulties in this material world, we all have this sense, kartahamiti manyate, I am the doer. But then when material nature slaps us, and whacks us, and bashes us, and throws us down, then we know, oh, actually, I'm not the doer. I'm simply dependent upon Krishna. So that is Krishna's test. Puts us through so many difficulties so that we have no other shelter but Krishna. Ekana Bharasha Tumi, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings so nicely. This Sharanagati, he's given so many songs. This or that song is from that Gopinath song, that's from Gitavali. So many songs he's given, Sharanagati, in his. How he's endeavored in so many ways in this material world. They're all his endeavors are useless. She Asha Bifo. All my desires, they've all come to nothing. They're all useless. Therefore, my only shelter is you, Krishna, he says. So that is the qualification to get to Krishna. We may have to go through so many penances, so many difficulties. That's why a devotee accepts, again Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that I will accept any difficulties in your service with great pleasure, knowing that this is Krishna's mercy on me. So many difficulties sometimes may appear intolerable, but we should know that is Krishna's mercy. We can pray for that. Krishna, please give me difficulties. It's a very good prayer. Vipada santita shashva tatra tatra jagatvaro bhavato darshanam yatsat apuna bhava darshanam. Dear Lord, please give me difficulties and dangers. That is the way to get Krishna's mercy very easily. Just like Prabhupada said, one who stays in the Muslim countries to preach, I take his dust upon him, dust of his feet on my head. So we've heard. We used to hear this, the Prabhupada said. Taking difficulty for Krishna is very pleasing. So if you get that opportunity, you should take that. Of course, you shouldn't foolishly do that also. There's no need to look in the newspaper and find where the nearest war is going on and go and stand in the middle of the two armies and say, everybody, hey, Hari Bol, everybody, chant Hare Krishna. That's not recommended. You should use a little intelligence also. How to preach. In which situation to preach. But it's a fact that if we take difficulties in Krishna's service, then that's very pleasing to Krishna. And unless and until we take those difficulties, then we may just have to go on taking the repeated difficulties of birth and death. Either way, we have to take difficulties. We may think, well, I don't like to do this, or I don't like to do that. Then, by avoiding difficulty in service, we may have to take birth, and we may have to take death again and again. So better take difficulties in Krishna's service and become purified and get his power to conquer over material energy and go back home, back to God. Hare Krishna. Any question? It's not going to help. The microphone's here.
You told that in the case of pure devotees, even though they are pure devotees, when they are doing their services, sometimes it sees that they have committed some mistake. Still, they were not doing bhakti in the proper way. But in our cases, we are taking effort.
Can I give an example of that?
Bali Maharaj, he is a pure devotee. But then also externally, Krishna is putting him in such a big situation that still he is not surrendering fully.
Okay,
I am asking the question.
But he was the king of the demons. That seems a little unusual. Why Bali Maharaj is great devotee, king of the demons? He was following the position that he found himself in by birth. By birth he was trained up to be a demon, so he acted as a demon. In the sense that the demons are always trying to overcome the devatas. But he didn't, of course, that we see that Krishna, that stated in the Bhagavatam, Indrari Vyakalam Lokam Vidyanti Yuge Yuge, that Lord, those who disturb Indra and the devatas, the Lord comes again and again to sort them out. But in this case, it wasn't that he was inimical towards Vishnu, he was just acting as a demon would do. He wasn't against the sense of Krishna bhakti. Actually, he could do a better job as Indra, because he's more of a devotee than the Indra who he kicked out. But to maintain the cosmic order, because after all Indra got that position by performing penances or performing 100 horse sacrifices or whatever. So to maintain the cosmic order that he's supposed to be Indra for some time, okay, let him be Indra. And you can be Indra afterwards. In the meantime, you can have a position of material enjoyment even greater than that of Indra. Pure devotees, they may appear to make some mistake. Well, there are examples, Kadatha Pandit. Well, the devotees, they were saying, why are you tolerating Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He's being so unfair to you, chastising you. You should have said something. You should have replied. Siddhartha said, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm not going to say, even if he's chastising me unfairly, I'm just going to accept it. So it appeared like the devotees were telling him, you should have said something, but he said, no, that's my mode of bhakti, I'm not going to infringe that. In Chaitanya Charitamrita also we find Govinda, the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came after dancing all morning from Mangalati to midday, then he eventually he was going on and on with his ecstasy, but somehow the devotees managed to, you know, they're all just like, their bodies were all just completely exhausted. So they managed to take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu out of kirtan ecstasy, and then he went to take a bath and took his prasadam. But then when he came back to the Gambhira, to his house, he just, as soon as he entered the door, he just collapsed right in the doorway and took rest right there. So then Govinda, his servant, came. He used to massage him after his lunch every day. He saw the, he can't go in the door because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was right in the doorway. So he said, could you move a little bit? He said, no. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, I can't move at all. I have to come in and massage him. He said, well, I can't move, so do whatever you like. So Govinda covered Mahaprabhu's body with his cloth and stepped over, offered obeisances, stepped over, took the cloth up and massaged him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after some time, woke up. He said, what are you doing here? You're supposed to go and take your lunch. He said, well, I couldn't go out because your body's in the door. He said, how did you come in? He didn't say anything. But in his mind he said that to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu I can make millions of offenses and go to hell many times. But for my own sense gratification I don't want to make even a slight offense. So that appeared that he made some offense and crossed over the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But actually he didn't make any offense. So I'm just trying to think of some example of a devotee. Apparently, yeah, it may seem like Govinda made an offense, but actually if you see the inner bhav of a pure devotee, there's no offense. Yeah, there's Prabhupada, well, I don't know if he was selling liquor, maybe he was a pharmaceutical seller, so he may have been selling medicine with alcohol. But that, just like Krishna says in Gita, in every endeavor there is some kind of fault. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't perform it. A brahmana may perform sacrifice in which animals are killed. It doesn't mean he should stop instructing. He may instruct a person who misuses that knowledge. Just like a brahmana may teach mantras, and later on the disciple may misuse that power he gets. Or a kshatriya, he has to kill. Killing is not very nice. But that doesn't mean that one should give up. It doesn't mean that he shouldn't do that. That's one of the kinds of, there are what, five kinds of irreligion. One of them is paradharma. To perform another's religious duties, just like Arjuna was thinking, let me give up this fighting and become non-violent. That's a brahmana's duty, that's not a kshatriya's duty. So for him, for Arjuna not to fight, that was adharma, because that was paradharma, that was someone else's duty to be non-violent. Shreyam swadharma viguna paramadharma bhayavaha. Twice Krishna says in Gita, it's best to perform one's own swadharma within the varnashram system. For to perform another's duty, that is not proper. That's one of the five kinds of irreligion. What is it? Vidharma, Chaladharma, Upadharma, Paradharma. Is it four or five? Four kinds. So these, so that may appear to be wrong, but you have to see within the context. A devotee doesn't do any wrong. Even one devotee told me that his family business was making liquor. So then he heard Prabhupada lecturing. He asked Prabhupada that, what should I do now? I'm a liquor manufacturer. So should I give that up or what? And he said that Prabhupada thought about that and he said, well, you have to maintain your family. So you go on doing that. Even in Fiji, Prabhupada, he went there and Vasudeva was there and his brother. They made that big temple in Fiji. They have so many shops throughout the island. Islands. So then one of them, they got initiated, and then one brother said, so now we'll have to stop selling meat in our shops. And Prabhupada said, no, you can go doing whatever you were doing. Don't change. So I've heard, that was told to me by some reliable person. So some things they may seem very strange. In the Mahabharata there's the story of that rishi who put the bird path stool on his head. He got angry and the bird fell down dead. So he thought, hey, that's pretty good. He was meditating under a tree. While he was meditating, the bird passed stool on his head. So he thought, he became angry, he became upset, and immediately the bird fell down dead. And he thought, wow, cool. I'm a pretty powerful yogi. So then after some time, he went into some town, and he was begging. Now he came into the town, there's no fruits from the forest, so he's begging for his meals, subsistence. And he called out, Avadham Bhikshan Dehi, give me some Bhiksha. The lady just put her head and said, just wait a minute, I'll come a little later. So he waited and she came back after some minutes and he was feeling angry. And she said, don't feel angry. I'm not a bird that's going to drop down dead because of your anger. And he thought, whoa, how does she know? Then if you're wondering how I know, I got that power from serving my husband. Just like you got power from tapasya.